Hello, my name is Edgar King and I'm the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you. Thank you for joining us. If you haven't shared the stream, please go ahead and do that for us. So, Tish, could you help me with the slides? Because I still have slides from the talk, please. So, this is Palm Sunday. It's what kicks off Holy Week. Holy Week is the last Sunday before Easter. Because Lent has been a series of 40 days, starting with Ash Wednesday, leading up to Easter Sunday, and we're getting there. We focus on the passion of Jesus, the sacrifice, the suffering that He willingly went through for us, and we observe Lent by. It's a season of repentance, fasting, and just. Being in that place where we are focusing on the sacrifice of Jesus. This suffering on His way to the cross changed history, but not only did it change history, it changed you and I. It changed all of humanity. This week, called Holy Week, is when Jesus is gently heading towards the cross. He knows it's coming. This is the reason He came. So He's aware that it's coming. And I can imagine the weight that is on Him. I remember my first surgery. Long before I went under the knife, I felt the weight. And I was sitting outside the operation room, and I was so cold. I had three heaters facing me, and I was still shivering. That's when I realized it wasn't so much the temperature, but I was already feeling the weight of being under the knife long before I get into the operation room. So I wonder how much Jesus felt the weight of what was coming, because He could feel it coming. He knew it was coming. For this reason, He had come. I wonder what the people who've watched their families die in the last year from COVID felt. Because some of them must have watched them just struggle and battle for their lives. I wonder what it felt like for them in those days. I wonder what it feels like for people whose doctors have given them a bit of time. They've told them, this is how much time you have, and they can feel it coming. And I feel like this is where Jesus was. You know, I can piece that together. But I feel like this is where Jesus was, as He was drawing nearer and nearer and nearer to His death. And for those who are in that space, my heart is deeply moved for you. And I pray that God gives you comfort. There is nothing easy about being in that space. And I just want to gently invite us to this realization that Jesus actually knows how that feels. Because on Holy Week, He was heading towards the cross and He knew it. So I've been inviting us as a church to the reality that because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of the things that we will see during Holy Week, our lives were changed, we are changed, that God is making all creation new, and He saw it fit to start with you. I am changed. You are changed. God is making everything new, and He saw it fit to start with you. And I hope that these conversations have impacted you as we come closer and closer to the end of them. They've impacted me. Every time as I prepared this, as I listened to the talk, as we were reviewing the stream, they've impacted me. They've caused they've caused me to be bold enough about stepping into changes that God has been inviting me to. And I hope that you too have been impacted, maybe even more. So we talked about God changing our identity, that we are children of God, that all the other identities we bought into are not ours anymore. All these ideas of, oh, we are sinners, we're rejected by God, those are not our identities anymore. We talked about the fact that we've been given the mind of Christ. You know, when lies come in that tell us that God is far from us, that tell us that God is not good, that's not our mind anymore. We have the mind of Christ. We talked about the fact that our culture has been changed, our politics have been changed, that we're not any more of the world than Jesus is. And last week, we talked about the fact that our economics have been changed, that those who believe in Jesus are invited to be careful against all manner of greed and to look at what they have as stewardship, to look at themselves as conduits and to bless the world, to just have things and not have them. Oh, okay. That's interesting. But we don't always feel changed, do we? You know, we don't always act free. What do we do when we don't feel as free as these talks have said we are? What do we do when we don't feel as changed as these talks and the scripture says we are? You know, and I think our county kind of knows the feeling, because just a few days ago we were free. And now, you know, no sooner do you breathe in and it's 8 o'clock and you should be in your house. So our county kind of knows that feeling. No sooner could, you know, just the other day we could gather here and now we couldn't. You know, I think we kind of get the glimpse of it. But some of it is even deeper, you know. You've probably sat through these talks and gotten excited that we have been set free. That where the Spirit of God is, there's total freedom. And that you are a new creation. And this is what God invites us to. Yet sometimes you've woken up and looked into the mirror and you didn't see that free person, did you? Sometimes your wife or husband or people you work with pointed out something and you wondered, am I really changed? Am I really changed? Sometimes shame has tried to steal our identity and we buy into the lie that we're not good enough, that we need to work harder to earn God's love, that God is not pleased with us. Are we really changed? Are we really free? That's the big question. So which is it? Are we changed? Are we still being changed? Will we be changed at all? Are we free? Are we still being free? Will we be free at all? And I think the simple answer to this question is yes. It's all of it. We live in a both-and reality. In this very moment, we live in a both-and reality. You're both completely changed, and you're both still being changed. You're still walking into change. God already sees you as complete as Jesus said you are when he died on the cross. God already sees who he has always called you to be. Yet you're still walking into that reality. You are changed. You're still being changed. You are changed at the moment Jesus died on the cross, and you will walk into this change throughout your lifetime. It's a lifetime of discipleship. So what do we do in the in-between? What do we do when we find ourselves in this very moment in the in-between? What do we do when we're not so sure what our identity is, when doubt comes in? What do we do when the passions of our politics and our culture kind of tag at our hearts, because we know they do? What do we do when we still see the grips of greed in our hearts, when we still want more, when we still want to compete with our neighbors and keep up with the Joneses? What do we do in the in-between? What do we do when old patterns of sin keep creeping in? And I think the story of Palm Sunday is exactly about that. The story of Palm Sunday is Jesus entering Jerusalem as king, but arrested like a thief. The story of Palm Sunday is Jesus become glorified, but dying naked on the cross. The story of Palm Sunday is people quite like us singing praises to Jesus one day, and a few days from now, they'll be shouting, "Crucify him." The same people. I relate to that. I totally relate. This is the story of Palm Sunday, the story of the reality of the both and the story of the tension of our lives. But Jesus didn't have any doubts. He was feeling the weight for this moment he came, but Jesus didn't have any doubt. He could feel the whole world on his shoulders. He was living through the tension itself. So I want us to read the story of Palm Sunday together. And as we read, I'm inviting you to be present to the tensions of your own heart. I'm inviting you to be present to the tensions of your own soul. The now and the not yet of your own heart. The both and reality that you are living through. The completely changed you and the you that is still walking into change. I want you to be aware of the tension that the world is in. COVID exhausted, vaccine excited, and still beaten down by a third wave while still grieving the losses of last year. I want you to be very aware of all the tensions we're walking through as we read the story of Palm Sunday. So for the team that's in the room, just invite you to stand. We read together. If you're at home and you could, please stand and we read together. Might look weird, but you know. So this is Luke 12:12-16. Let's read together. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and the things had been done to him. Let's pray. Lord, let us be aware that our King is coming. Let us be aware that our King is here. Father, even as we bear our hearts before you, with all the tensions we feel this morning, as individuals and as a county and as a world, as a people, we still choose to trust you. Those who are in ecstatic celebration and those who are just at the verge of breaking down, we still choose to trust you. Those who've seen great change and those who are desperately longing to see this change, we still choose to trust you. So come, Lord, and speak to us in ways only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. So the cornerstone scripture of our series has been an excerpt from a letter a guy called Paul wrote to an early church, one of the early churches that was in the city of Corinth. And Paul emphasizes that where the Spirit of God is, where the Holy Spirit reigns, there is total freedom. That we've been freed from greed, we've been freed from shame, we've been freed from sin, we've been freed from false identity, we've been freed from the demonic hold of whatever runs our economies and our politics. We've been freed from all that, and we display the glory of God. The interesting thing is, Paul wasn't a stranger to be in prison. He talks about freedom in so many of his letters. And some of those letters, he actually writes them from prison. So what's going on? You know, how could he be talking about freedom when he himself is in jail? How could he be talking about freedom when he himself wasn't free? He's either mad or experiencing a different life within him. He's either losing it or he is indeed free. So free that even chains can't take away that freedom. And it's not just Paul. There was another guy called Peter, and he hang around Jesus, and he was one of the leaders of the churches of the church in Jerusalem. He was an amazing leader of the early church. He knew Jesus personally. And Peter also writes about the freedom that Jesus has brought. But Peter wasn't a stranger to being arrested. In fact, one of those arrests ended up in him being crucified and dying for the kingdom, for the gospel he preached. Not just Peter and Paul, another friend of Jesus called John. He also hung around Jesus. He knew Jesus. He looked at Jesus, and many years later, he reflecting on his experience with Jesus, said, he has seen love in action. He has seen love embodied. He knew that Jesus was God, that if God ever walked earth, this is it. And if this is it, then God is love. John writes about freedom too. But John wasn't a stranger to being imprisoned. Actually, he writes one of his famous letters to the church from being in exile on a different island. Not just the apostles, countless believers have talked about freedom and lived in this freedom while some of them were actually prisoners, while some of them were martyred for what they believed in. All across the world, even in Uganda, just across the border. Well, we can't cross the border now. So what is this? Either they're mad, or they actually are experiencing a freedom that nothing could take away. And you know, we've been talking about stepping into the freedom and the change that God has given us. And guess what? The world will fight back. As we step away from the world, as we step away from the chains of the world will fight back. These guys were living out the new reality that God had invited them into, and the world was fighting back. The kingdom of darkness was fighting back. And we would wonder, were they really free? If they started living out this new life, clamoring that they're free, yet they end up in prison or they end up dead. What are they really free? Guess what? The world will fight us. Even you, when you start stepping into the freedom that God is calling you, and start stepping into a different culture, the culture around you will fight back because you'll seem odd. I think that's why Jesus said that the world has hated them because of me. It'll feel like you're excluded. So are you really free? When you start wearing the mind of Christ and paying attention to what you spend your eyes and ears on, it'll seem like you're not free and you're losing out. And, we live in a culture that says, hey, you only live once. But if you stop stepping into the culture of the kingdom of God, it'll seem like you're missing out. When you're free from the hold of your party's politics, some of them will shun you. When you're watching against all kinds of greed, it'll feel like you have very little sometimes. In a culture that is obsessed with consumerism, it'll feel like you don't have enough sometimes. The world will fight back, but not just the world outside us. Even inside us, sometimes inside us. As we step into the freedom and the change that God has brought us into, as we step into the new creation that God has called us, sometimes what Paul calls the old self will show up. Sometimes as believers, and often just like Jesus was faced with temptation, we sometimes face seasons of great temptation, and we sometimes even fall. Are we changed then? You know, Paul gives us a unique insight into, glimpse into his psyche. At one point, Paul points out that The good things he's trying to do are the things he doesn't do. And all the other things he's trying not to do, he finds himself doing them. He's telling us, listen, the same guy who wrote about freedom, the same guy who wrote about us being changed, is being very honest with us to say, there is this tug of war in me sometimes. There's the old self that didn't care about how close God is. There's an old self that wanted every material possession. There's an old self that struggled with envy. There's an old self that didn't believe that I'm a child of God. That person still shows up. There's an old self for whom sin was normal. That person sometimes still shows up. It is the story of Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, one of the apostles of Jesus Christ that powerfully welcomed the Gentiles into the church. See, the church struggled with whether Gentiles were allowed to be followers of Jesus because it started primarily as a Jewish movement. Now, Gentiles meant everyone else who's not Jewish. And let me just unpack that a little bit. You know, Peter and Paul are both Jews, and Jews had this Judaism, the faith of Judaism excluded everyone else. Yet there was an allowance for Gentiles, non-Jews, to become Jews, to convert to Judaism. But even then, they were still treated second rate. To this day, there's still a big debate whether purebred Jews can marry Gentiles who've converted into Judaism. So it was both Peter and the Jews' problem with Gentiles was both religious, but it was also racist. And I know that we're at a time when no one wants to talk about racism because it's such a thorny issue, yet we have to speak to the culture of the day. We have to speak to the current moment. Yes, it is dicey to talk about racism and tribalism. Yet we have to face the narratives that have formed our cultures. You know, because even today, we are very happy with coming to church together from different tribes and nations, but then we're not so sure we want to go the extra mile and we still know that parents struggle with their kids marrying from different tribes. When election comes, we still know that Kenya will vote along tribal lines. You know, we know that racism is a sticky issue across the globe right now. And there's so many believers in the world, right? This is the story of Peter. Peter opened the door to Gentiles because Jesus sent him to one Gentile and he poured out the Holy Spirit on this Gentile and his family. And Peter was convinced that nothing should keep them away. Yet one day he visited a church that had many Gentiles and he was ashamed about, he didn't want to be seen eating with them. So was Peter changed or was he not? What's going on here? So it's not just the world that will fight back. And we have to be very honest about the tensions in our heart because if we're not aware of them, we won't surrender them to Jesus. We have to be aware of the tribal and racist tensions in our hearts because if we're not aware of them, we will not surrender them to Jesus. But anyway, I digress a bit. Yet, Peter, Paul, all these apostles, even with how open the Bible is about their failures, about the things that were not so changed in them, they had this confidence that God, Jesus brings freedom, that the Holy Spirit transforms us. How do they have this confidence? What kept them together in this tension, yet even when the situations on the ground were not as enthusiastic? I think it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the very life of Jesus himself in us. I think the life of Jesus is capable of keeping us together as we live through the tensions, as we gently walk towards who God has called us to be. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we have so much freedom. We can live through the tensions without being torn apart. The death and resurrection of Jesus allowed us, it made room for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the only thing that could keep us together through the tensions we see. Through the, I am completely changed and I am walking a whole lifetime of being changed. And think about it like this. If you think of yourself 20 years from now, who are you becoming? And my hope is you're becoming who God has called you to be. And between now and then, what will keep you together is the power of the Holy Spirit. Even when sometimes it will feel like you're in chains, what will keep you together is the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a story I want us to share today, again, of this guy called Paul, that will probably illustrate for us what it is we are called to be while we live through the tension. Paul was arrested along with his friend called Silas. They had been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everywhere the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached, there's been freedom. Because the Holy Spirit is the power that backs the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's been freedom. And so there was freedom in this place, including freedom to a young girl who was influenced by evil spirits. And the people who were gaining from this, because there's always people trying to gain from chaos, the people who were gaining from this weren't very happy. People were receiving Jesus in so much, in a lot of numbers, they stopped buying idols, and people aren't very happy. So there was a riot, and they were blamed for it. So here's the story I want us to read in Acts 16, 22 to 25. The Roman officials ordered that Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods on their bare backs. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. So they're in the innermost cell, and their feet are not only bound, but they're also chained. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. This just amazes me where these two are. These two are not only in prison, but they're in the innermost cell. These two have been talking about freedom. They've preached to so many people and told them there's freedom in Jesus. Now they themselves are in prison, bound and chained. And what are they doing? They're in prayer. They're in praise. Those shackled with no idea how the next day turns out for them. They had no idea what would happen the following day. Still they praised. Still they prayed. And I think this is the invitation. While we live in the in-between, while we live in the tension, while we live in the tension of our world, and while we live in the tensions within us as believers, we're invited to still be with the Father, to still abide with Jesus, in Jesus, to still remain in prayer and praise. It's not that things will be smooth as we step into change. Quite the contrary. Sometimes it will seem like we are in chains. Sometimes we might be put in chains themselves. Yet praising in the middle of a storm is the invitation. Praising when it hurts has a way of releasing hope. Praising when it hurts has a way of releasing joy. Praising when it hurts has a way of birthing hope in us. And hope will keep us waiting while in the tension. And joy will give us perseverance while in the in-between and in the darkness. And listen, hope, the hope I'm talking about is not wishful thinking. Oh yeah, I hope you get well. Oh yeah, I hope things turn. No, it's not wishful thinking. The hope that Jesus births in us is not a denial of where we are. The hope that only the kingdom of God brings is not ignoring the chains that we see around us sometimes. The hope that Jesus births in us is about trusting a faithful God. It's about saying everything will be okay because God has promised. I did have a difficult Sunday last week when someone came up to me and said, I just came to tell you you were wrong. Because I'd said that God is good and things will be okay, and they weren't. And it broke my heart. And my heart breaks for them even more. And this is my invitation to all of us, because we've all been there. And right now, we're living through that. And in the larger scheme of things, our lives of believers is about being in the in-between as we step from one glory to another. Praising in the middle of a storm will birth real hope. Not a hope that denies that we're sometimes in trouble. Not a hope that denies the storm that is around us. But a hope that keeps our eyes firmly focused on Jesus. Firmly focused on the horizon. Hope, trusting that God will turn everything around because He is faithful. Hope, trusting God more than we trust ourselves to bring change in our lives. Hope, trusting God more than we trust our economy. Hope, trusting God more than we trust our government. Hope, trusting God more than we trust anything else. That is true hope. And only true hope can keep us in the tension. Worship of the Father, being with the Father. And this is exactly where we see Jesus. So we're beginning the Holy Week. This is Palm Sunday. We're talking about Jesus entering into Jerusalem. He feels the weight. He knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. Yet, over and over again, throughout Holy Week, as things change, as suffering gets worse, as he even dies on the cross on Good Friday, as all these happens, never at one point did Jesus stop praising. Never at one point did Jesus stop praying. He didn't ignore where he was. At one point, he makes this cry, God, you've forsaken me. And then still he turns his eyes to the Father. He trusts the Father more than he trusts anything else. This is where we see Jesus as he lives through this tension. So as Jesus entered Jerusalem, you know, people are singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, save us. They're shouting to him as king. They're shouting to him as Messiah. They're celebrating him. Just like us, a few days later, they wanted him crucified. So here's another part of the story. Some Pharisees in the crowd say to him, Teacher, make your disciples stop shouting. In another version, it says, Do you actually hear what they're saying? This was Jesus' response. But Jesus answered, If they keep quiet, the stones will start shouting. Here is Jesus saying, yes, in this very moment of tension, the right thing to do is praise even more. In this very moment of hurt, in this very moment of seeming confusion, in this very moment of seeming darkness, the right thing to do is praise. I'll call the band back on stage as we come to a close. So do not quiet the praise. When you find yourself in the middle of your changed life and your changing life, do not quiet the praise. When you find yourself feeling free and when you find yourself feeling not so free, do not quiet the praise. When you find yourself aware that you're God's child, and when you find yourself doubting and shame knocking at your door, do not quiet the praise. Praise births real hope in us. Let praising God in difficult times, in tension, be what births hope in you. And let hope coming from trusting a faithful God produce joy in you. And let joy that is not about the surrounding, that is not about our circumstances, produce patience in you as you're transformed to bear the glory of Jesus. So as we walk into Holy Week, we will see Jesus constantly in this place. The king treated like a thief. And we'll see him constantly in praise. So as the band sings this over us, I invite you to be present again. Yes, you can sing along, or you can just sit there quietly as we sing over you. But I invite you to dare praise, even as you find yourself in whatever moment you're in. If you've prayed for healing for so long and you're getting tired, don't quit praying and don't quit praising. So as we finish, if you need prayer, would love to pray with you. Just write on the stream or message the church page privately. So Lord, I ask that you walk into Holy Week with us. Lord, I ask you that you open our eyes. Open our hearts more so to actually receive every sacrifice you made for us. I just have a sense that there's some of us who this week have resisted God because they felt they're not enough. And so even as we enter into Holy Week, you're just thinking, maybe that's not for me. And Father, I pray that your Spirit opens us up to receive your forgiveness, to receive your sacrifice, and that it will birth praise in us. Lord, I ask that you birth real hope in us. Real hope, not about wishful thinking, but a trusting in you that goes beyond our circumstances. So I bless you this week to be alive and aware of all the tensions around you. I bless you this week as you spend time with family, with friends, for those who are going to work, with your colleagues, for those who are still going to school, you know, with your classmates. I bless you that the power of the Holy Spirit will make you aware of every tension around you, but the power of the Holy Spirit will keep you together. That you will freely surrender to what God is doing in you, full of gratitude for what God has already done in you. I pray that the Holy Spirit births real hope in each one of you. Bless you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. See you again online next week.